Do I want to hit okay?
Yeah, hit okay. Allow it, Mike.
Hit okay, hit okay.
Isaiah 5:20. This is one we are so familiar with. You don't even have to open to it, dude. You're gonna know.
I want to read along.
You're gonna know exactly what it is when I get going.
Okay.
And I'm in the NIV right now, so you're gonna be like,
that's why I need to read my Bible.
Oh,
you know what?
Whoa.
I'm gonna bless you. I'm gonna read a different version.
You do it. Do it. Are you wanting me to wait for you?
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. Okay. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Woe to those who are heroes at drinking wine and champions at mixing drinks, who acquit the guilty for a bribe, but deny justice to the innocent. Therefore, as tongues of fire lick up straw and as dry grass sinks down in the flames, so their roots will decay and their flowers blow away like dust, for they have rejected the law of the Lord Almighty and spurned the word of the Holy One of Israel. Woe to those.
Woe, woe.
Loving Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together today. We ask that your word will be spread to the listener, that they will gain a better understanding of who you are, and help Mike and I not to tarnish that in any way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I like this passage. What do you got there? I can't read it. It's too dark. Christian Standard Bible. Nice work.
It's free.
Was it?
Yes.
Yeah, because it's in the back of a pew in front of you doesn't mean it's free.
A pastor handed it to me. I don't want to name drop out here in Arizona. Well,
theft
no.
Theft is theft, Mike.
If it's theft because I stole it right in front of his eyes, I guess it's not theft, right? It's gifted theft.
I guess. I think that's called robbery because you're intimidating.
Well, I didn't say it on Sunday because, you know, the Lord, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. I was going to say, you know, Jesus is the greatest thief of all time.
Nice. Can you see what I'm looking at there, Michael?
Yes. Backup and sync is no longer available. What is this?
I don't know. So there's a lot of advertisements on this page, but bear with me here. So after, this is on lawenforcementtoday.com. I'll give them a shout out because I actually read their stuff quite a bit. After defunding the police, Portland's mayor suddenly wants to spend millions to hire and equip more cops. And I'll let's see, I'll get down to the good part here. Look for a dollar sign there, Mike. Let me know when you see it.
Oh, whoa, whoa.
You see it?
Wait, was it in the below the picture? One of the pictures, I think.
Was it?
7.8 million.
So yeah, that's part of it. That's part of what they're
yeah, it's right there in that picture of the
trying to add. But the big part that I wanted to get to is they are, yeah, I don't know where it was. They're wanting to offer a $25,000 signing bonus. 25 grand. So we've come to the point where they've gotten rid of so many people.
Oh, right there. It's in that picture with the patrol car with the officer.
Oh, okay. Picture. Oh, there you go. Yeah. Mayor Wheeler's 7.8 million public safety spending plan includes 636 body cameras and a $25,000 hiring bonus for Portland police recruits.
Recruits? Oh my gosh. They're going to get a bunch of liberal kids to join the police department.
Well, that's really what they want, but what they don't understand is just like what you and I know from our experience in law enforcement is that those with that kind of mindset, they don't want to be cops.
No.
You know, there's a few, there's a handful that are, and God bless them. But the majority of the people who want to be in law enforcement have a very I hate the word conservative because it makes it sound so old school, but you know, a mindset that's very founded on what I would say is our biblical, you know, morality principles, right? So I don't know. What do you think, Mike? Let's just make you think about.
Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly.
Yeah, no, now let's get to this other one that you and I talked about here just a second ago.
Just a tidbit on that. I think Mary Wheeler, definitely there's an agenda, you know, and you know, it used to be where signing bonuses were a good thing to recruit highly qualified people for a job that's super hard.
Yeah.
You know, and you get this hiring bonus and you go through the interview process and all that and background investigations and you get vetted, you know, $25,000 signing bonus for a bunch of people. I bet you it's going to be a bunch of people that were part of the riots that were, you know, breaking down because they're going to be, you know, how do you say it? Groomed.
Yeah.
You know, you know, it's in the, you know, child sex trafficking industry. There's that grooming process. And I think these politicians know that there's a grooming that they can do. I mean, look at our society today with all the corrupt education that was taught, you know, probably I would say as early as, you know, the 80s, you know, there's a generation that, you know, that was groomed to think, you know, United States is not a great country. It's weak, you know, and it needs to be destroyed, you know, and it's the likes of, you know, SOROS. First name is George.
Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah.
And so I think, you know, Wheeler has an agenda, you know, and I feel sorry for people that see that. Oh, awesome. They're not going to defund the police, but yeah, they're going to hire a bunch of people that are not going to enforce the law. And the people that sign off on this, you know, agenda in the city council and whatnot, and the well-off endowed rich people that live around there, you know, if they do something, they're, you know, it's like Hunter Biden, right? Because he's a president's kid. He's off limits. They have this, you know, and that's what they're grooming to do, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, you can see it with the federalizing of a lot of our law enforcement, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we saw Project Veritas that was
broken,
you know, with an FBI warrant over a diary.
Yeah.
That's unconstitutional. We can't. Anyway, I mean, this is where we're headed. And then I think that this passage from Isaiah is why, you know, we have pushed God out of everything government related, you know, except on the individual level where you can't. And it happened a long time ago. I was watching a documentary the other night about it had to do with our relationship with China and with the Pacific Islands there. And we did some incredibly awful things, you know, Easter Islands and all of our, you know, atomic weapon testing. We did some horrible things, and it's our government. And it hasn't changed. It's, I don't know. It's amazing to me the things that our government has done, which is in stark contrast to, you know, our foundations and what we were founded on. But it's a direct reflection, I think, of the human heart, you know? And I want to point something out. When it says woe to those who call evil good and good evil, I'm hoping that everybody understands what the term woe means, because it's not like, woe, you know, it's a curse. It's a curse. So,
you know, I think we're living in a day and age where when Abraham was, I don't know, negotiating with God, And I don't want to even use the word negotiate. I mean, obviously God allowed Abraham to ask if there is 100 righteous, right? Mm-hmm. If there is 50, if there's, and I think.
Yeah, he got down to 10. It's like, come on, keep going, Abraham. Keep going.
Yeah. And so I think God was allowing him to ask that question so that literally it's God's willing to sacrifice everything to save one soul, right? And I think we're living in a day and age, especially in the United States, is we're now going backwards to needing to evangelize our country because the world has come here. And they've brought their worldly views and whatnot, but they don't know Jesus, you know, where other countries are now sending missionaries to the United States because we've become a godless society, right? It's a giant Las Vegas, so to speak, yeah. Outside of pockets of, you know, Prineville, Oregon and things like that, you know, yeah. in the middle of Buckeye, Arizona, where, you know, we can still carry guns, but yeah. But now our prayer as believers, if you think about it, needs to be like Abraham, right? Like, Lord, if there's 100 righteous, you know, and praying for those, you know, that have named the name of Jesus, right? So that they could be saved. And I think you're right. I mean, we are in a state of a godless society, and I think there's that saying, the matter of the heart is the heart, you know, and I believe it was Jeremiah who said it, who can know it, right? The heart is desperately wicked. And unfortunately, we've gotten to a place where we've allowed and voted in heartless, ungodly, unrighteous people into office. You know, and until the Lord calls us home, we need to start standing up for truth and standing up for righteousness. Who was I talking with? I was talking to another pastor friend of mine. You know, I know Victor Marx is heavily into it. Mm-hmm. But man, I hate, you know, people can hate me for all they want. As wacky as I miss Trump being a president, you know, but I wish he would have done this one thing. I wish he would have hired unlisted, unknown hitmen to take out sex traffickers. And traffickers, you know, mm-hmm. And because, you know, there's big money involved, and because there's big money involved, you could see all the sprouts that go upward, that goes into the upper echelons of these powerful people, you know, like the Epsteins and, you know, Giselle, whatever her name is.
Maxwell, and yeah.
That. Yeah. It's just, I don't know, man. It's just.
Yeah, you and me both. I mean, I wish there was a way that we could eradicate our society of that stuff, because of course we're parents, right? And our thoughts go to our kids and the whole stinking thinking, right? We head down that what if trail, and mm-hmm. It's horrifying, absolutely horrifying, to the point where last night my kids watched Polar Express, right? And there's this train full of kids and, you know, the train conductor, and I start to look at that thing with a whole new point of view, and I'm like, there's something wrong with this movie now. You know, and so I mean, that's where my mind goes, but that's unfortunately, and maybe fortunately, I don't know, but that's the career that you and I come from. That's our point of view of society, and we're overly cautious, and it wasn't intended to be that way. You know, it's before the fall, it wasn't supposed to be that way. God, I mean, it blows me away. God walked in the garden in the cool of the day. Wow. That, you know, earth must have been essentially perfect for a very short time period, because otherwise I don't think God would have walked in it with Adam, you know, and that just blows me away. That's awesome. And I want to be at that point where I can walk and talk with my creator, but we don't see that right now. Instead, we're in such a sad state that we can barely convince people to go out and be protectors. We got to add another 25 grand, try and convince people that maybe shouldn't even be in that position to take the bait, you know, for an extra payday. And it's horrifying. I just opened up here to that section of Genesis because I wanted to see how that conversation ended. And it's an interesting ending. It's just, it just says that, that was that. It says, when the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, he left and Abraham returned home. And then we go into the, you know, the actual destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. But it's important to point out, I think. So I've had a change of mindset when it comes to evangelism and sharing the word. And I think I talked about this a couple podcasts ago in that, I think that my interest should be more in line with God's interest, in that God is interested in the individual heart. You know, I think Satan wants to, I think he wants to paint with a broad brush, and he wants to, well, and it makes sense, right? Satan's not omniscient. He's not omnipotent. And so he's got to go for the Hitlers, the Hillary Clintons, whatever, right? And get the biggest bang for his buck and destroy as many as possible from the top, right? Whereas God is concerned about, we see time again, the widows, the orphans, the defenseless, the children. And I think I need to be more concerned about the individual, not just reaching as many as I can, but reaching the hearts of those who are ready, I guess. What do you think?
No, I agree with you. I mean, you know, like, you know, I'll be getting into the book of Acts here with the church, you know, in a couple of weeks, and just kind of getting, bearing my mind for it. I don't even know if I'm going to, hopefully I could get to verse one of chapter one, because I want to kind of, but I don't want to be one of those guys that does a long intro into all the facts. But something in Acts chapter four, I shared it yesterday at the church, is Peter and John were accused of being with Jesus. They were unlearned, you know, and they marveled at him. And it's interesting how it says they had been with Jesus. And I think evangelism starts at the feet of the Lord, you know, and, you know, I think, you know, I went through a program called Evangelism Explosion back in the, you know, the day. And it was pretty much a salesman's approach. And how, you know, they call it OJT, on the job training. And it was nothing. And to be honest with you, I didn't see any difference between that program and like the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons going door to door. You have your trainer and a trainee, you know, it's kind of like, you know, Kirby vacuums, you know, or Cutco knives. You have your trainee and a trainer, right? And, you know, I learned some stuff, and, you know, where they say like, you know, if you ask them, you present the gospel and you ask them, do you want to accept Jesus Christ right now? And they say, no, they like, don't take that personally, you know? And I'm like thinking in my head back then, I'm like, how could you not? They're not accepting my Lord. But at the same time, I think we have to be aware of the fact that evangelism stems from our personal relationship with Jesus Christ and how he's changing me as an individual.
Yeah.
You know, and versus, I mean, there's nothing wrong with evangelists going out there like the Greg Laurie's and Billy Graham's and whatnot. Or you have, you know, your average John Doe that loves to share the gospel. And I don't think there's nothing wrong with that. Because obviously, you know, Philip was called from a thriving ministry and all of a sudden the Lord says, go. Then he's got a eunuch that he's going to minister to and hence go supposedly in the history books, you know, the, how the gospel ended up in the African continent. But if Christians spent time with the Word of God in such a way, and the response is so weird that our spouses, our friends, our family members, our siblings, our kids could say, you've been with Jesus, haven't you? Right? I mean, you and I both know, you know, being married to women, if we have to clarify that. But you and I both know when we don't spend time with Jesus, we get snappy in certain situations and vice versa.
Yeah.
You know, and the Bible says our spouses, you know, the women, you know, God bless them. They're of the weaker vessel and they are the glory of the husband. Right. And as I'm getting older, I want to be better at that. I want to spend more time with the Lord, you know, in such a way that, you know, I'm able to exude a little bit of Jesus. Not that I am Jesus, but it's like, I, you know, like when I used to teach worship for like worship clinics for worship teams and stuff like that. And I like to use, you know, the woman who brought the alabaster box, right? And, you know, one of the disciples was complaining that that's a year's worth of, you know, wages. And I was like, and so what, right? But, and what's interesting is Jesus allows her, never stopped her, from her expressing both a physical in the sense of she did something that was so unnatural by unraveling her hair, which was very unnatural thing to do outside of marriage, so to speak, right? Because yeah. Woman's hair is her glory. So she unraveled her hair. She brings a year's worth of salary or, you know, in the alabaster box. She breaks it open, which is an act of worship, right? And the act of worship was physical in the sense of she had to be in close proximity to be able to wash his feet, right? And of course, it says the fragrance went in the air and the people, you know, the disciples smelled it. And, you know, one disciple said, oh, that could have been used for the poor, blah, blah, blah. And when I taught this years ago and I realized she took on the Lord's scent. I mean, Jesus smelled good. Don't get me wrong. You know, she took fragrances that was crushed to present it to Jesus. Obviously, he was smelling good. You know, but she's the only one at that moment that could say, I was blessed and I took on the scent of the Lord on me. And I walked away.
Mm-hmm.
Because she can take her hair, and you know, think about it. This I don't say this to be gross or kind of weird, but Jesus's sweat. What did it smell like? Is it salty like you and I? Like after a good day of training, you know, like our vest, man. You don't wish that on anybody, right? And but then I was picturing this in the sense of I have it seared in my mind. Where my mom used to use that cream called Pond. And at night, whenever she would hug me or give me a kiss, her scent would be on my, now on my nose or on my cheek. I'm like, I could smell my mom, you know? And I brought out an old blanket that was given to me by my mom. And it was, I finally decided to give it a wash because it's been in a bag, but I smelled this spot and I smelled my mom, you know? And I was like, Lord, I need to be close like that with you, where it's not about me making the room smell good, but it's me taking on the scent of the Lord so that your scent is given off, right, to others. And when I'm reading Acts in a different light, because the book of Acts is still going on today. But when, you know, remember it's that story, hey, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk, take up your bed and walk, right? And this guy's like, what? You know, gets strength back, and then people marvel, Peter preaches, thousands get saved. And the leaders accuse them of having been with Jesus. And I think that's evangelism, you know, where if it doesn't start with falling in with the Lord and then when we fall in love with the Lord, we've worshiped him and we've embraced him, we go off. It's like when I eat garlic and onions, my wife would say, what'd you eat? Mm-hmm. I'm like, what are you talking about? You ate something with garlic or onions. Because, you know, you go to give her a kiss, you know, and, you know, you just learn when you're on duty, hey, can you take the onions and garlic out? You know, you go to In-N-Out to get a 4x4. No onions, please. But it's that, I believe, which is so important for those that wear the uniform. Because they know, right? Especially cops. Cops are just skeptical people. Firefighters a little less. But they know if you're genuine. They know if you're a carbon copy or you're a fake. Yeah. And if we, as men and women in uniform, are genuinely spending time in this thing called the Word of God, and obviously we're pouring our hearts to the Lord for our issues, but yet if the Lord is showering us with his love and his grace, and then we go to work, and irregardless of what's happening in the day, they're like, man, there's something different about you today.
It's attractive.
Yeah,
it is. I mean, there weren't that many people in the world when Jesus, you know, walked this earth in the flesh, but we see 5,000 men showing up, mm-hmm. not including women and children.
Yep.
Right? They only counted the men. There's something attractive about that. And the same holds true for the saints. I mean, we see at Pentecost when Peter gave his short little speech there after being filled with the Holy Spirit, right? And hundreds were saved. And because there's an attractiveness to that. I think there's a light, you know, John chapter 1 talks about, you know, the light came into the world and the darkness could not comprehend it or could not understand it or could not overcome it, depending on what translation you have. But, you know, we're supposed to be reflections of that. And I've talked about the symbolically being kind of like the moon, right? We're supposed to reflect the light of the sun. Mm-hmm. And if we let the world get in the way, like we see in the news all the time, it's going to block that sun from us. We got to get the world out of the way and get to the Lord. And, you know, kind of like we were saying with God being concerned about the individual here, even if Lot was a turd, which Lot was a turd, man, right? We see that he was a turd. And let's see, what is this? Genesis 19, verse 29. It says, so when God destroyed the cities of the plain, he remembered Abraham. And he brought Lot out of the catastrophe that overthrew the cities where Lot had lived. So, you know, if I don't know, if you and I are loving on the individual and being the light and sharing with them, I mean, it doesn't have to be overtly sharing the gospel all the time. That can get pretty annoying. Who was it, Mike, that said, share the gospel all the time, something like that, and if absolutely necessary, use words. Mm-hmm. I don't remember who said that. But that's the way we're supposed to live, I think. And
is that C.S. Lewis or Tozer?
I don't think it was Lewis.
I don't know. Someone smarter than us.
Yeah, somebody who would remember who said it. But yeah, and I'm seeing that firsthand that you know, we can do this podcast thing, we can put it on blast, try to reach as many people as possible, and that's great. But I'll tell you what, I'm not Billy Graham, and neither are you. So I think that God has given us the task of reaching out to coworkers, you know, to friends.
You know, irregardless of what people think, I'm going to name him on the podcast. You know, Pastor John Corson was a huge impact on my life, you know, and I remember leading worship at the Applegate Amphitheater, and, you know, during the foot washing portion. You can't wash feet unless you're physically doing it. You know, and it's one of the most humbling things I've, you know, seen. And I've been part of, you know, foot washing services at retreats, you know, where, you know, you get this goodie bag and there's, you know, or they hand you a goodie bag the night before or the night of, and it's got a clean pair of socks, you know, and a little thing of soap, to kind of prepare everybody for it, you know? And I remember being part of this Pentecostal denominational church, and I was one of the leaders, and there was like 250, 300 retreaters, young adults, college kids. And, this particular pastor was very, spiritual. I appreciated his, you know, insight on the Pentecostal side of it all. And I'm like, I've heard about foot washing services, but I never experienced it myself where I'm the one washing, you know, the feet. You know, it's not like we're scrubbing it. You know, there's a pan, you pull it out, pour water, and you just do light, gentle washing, right? And I remember getting this particular individual who I absolutely despised growing up in the church. You know, you just hated this person. You know, it's like when you go to school and you just like have that one classmate, you're just like, ugh, right? And, you know, guys wash guys' feet, girls wash girls, and just to keep it, you know, on par and, you know, a G level. And worship's being played, these people are coming through, and, you know, different leaders are moving around, so we don't always just stay in one spot. And so I move around and I get this one guy. I'm like, oh, hey, I was literally, the spirit was calling me out, are you going to wash his feet? You know, and this is a kid that, like, literally borrowed hundreds of dollars and never repaid me back. You know, and he's there and he's looking at me like, oh, caca, right? And the Lord broke me, you know, and it says, forgive as I've forgiven you. And I'm washing feet. I'm like, seriously, Lord? You know what kind of stuff I could have bought with that money? Blah, 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 right? And I remember I'm in the amphitheater at Applegate leading worship with Bob the Tomato on my guitar. And John's off. I don't know if it's changed, but I think he was off to my right. And, you know, I'm leading worship. People are singing. People are crying, you know, and here's John, you know, with other pastors. And not one dry eye. Everybody was crying. And of course, I'm like, I can't cry as a worship leader. I'm like, I got to maintain this, right? But I realized you can't wash feet unless you bow down, you get on your knees, you humble yourself, and do it in person. And sometimes I think we lose that witness because, you know, I mean, this podcast is great. You know, this is going to minister to somebody sometime down the line, but it's not going to beat you in uniform ministering to your coworker who you kind of despise or don't care for or whatever, but you're like, I need to minister to this person. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, and I think that's huge because in a day and age where, like you were just reading out of, you know, Isaiah, whoa, right? It's a curse, you know? And it's like God's woe is W-O-E, right? Whoa. Man's woe is like W-O-A-H, like whoa, right? And I think we need to be in a place where a lot of people are having woe on in the sense of, since they don't know the Lord, they're going to get judged by the judge, right? And we need to step in and to kind of intercede on their behalf and say, Lord, can you be a little bit more long-suffering because I have a brother who doesn't know the Lord. I have, you know, a son or a daughter who doesn't know the Lord. Even though I'm selfish and say, Lord, can you come back today?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's Thanksgiving week. It would be a great Thanksgiving if you just rapture the church and, you know, we can have a, you know, HD 4K, you know, view of what's going to happen after we get to heaven. Right. But, and that's where I'm asking the Lord in these last days to change my heart first so that I can, you know, swoop down and wash feet, so to speak, you know, and like, it's like when you and I in our profession, you encounter some people, you're just like, man, it's going to take a miracle of Jesus to be in your life. So nothing's going to turn this around, you know, especially when you run someone's driver's license. You're like, yeah, they've had 4 priors, 4 DUIs, blah, blah, blah. And you're just like, oh gosh, you know, but in the back of your head, you have to kind of pray, kind of ask the Lord for wisdom. How can I inject ministry? You know, I still love arrest people and then put Greg Laurie on in the patrol car.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, especially if it's like, cool, I have it booked up on my YouTube channel. You know, and some of the people were like, man, are you a Christian? I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. Listen to the radio. They're like, this is Greg Laurie. And then, you know, they're confessing, I'm so sorry. I'm like, don't confess to me, man. This isn't a confessional box. Right. But it's like, you know, if I could be an agent to help them get back on track with the Lord, so be it. Right. So,
heck yeah.
Anywho,
well, you have a short timeline here, so
yeah, got a couple minutes. Man, I gotta run.
Let's I'm gonna confirm what you're saying here in that, just like we just read here, we have the opportunity to intercede on the behalf of our friends and loved ones, and to the point where it may even save them through our intercession. Mm-hmm. Lot was saved not because he was righteous, And not because Abraham is righteous, but like Paul said about Abraham, right? It was accounted, righteousness was accounted to him because of his faith, right? And I don't remember the exact verbiage, but that's essentially what it is. He was saved by faith, and not only him, but as we can see, Lot was saved as well, at least from that fire. And so we have the opportunity to pluck some people out of the fire ourselves through intercession on their behalf.
You get to be a fireman.
By grace. Hey, I always wanted to be a fireman. I just couldn't do the school. Okay, Mike, with that, I'll let you finish this out here.
Yeah, let's pray. Let's pray. Lord, may we as believers be accused of spending time with you. Lord, not of me, myself, and I, but Lord, of you, where, Lord, you have stirred our hearts in such a way, Lord, that whether in uniform or out of uniform, in pulpit, out of the pulpit, Lord, that we could be accused of having spent time with you, God. And Lord, those that are going to listen to this podcast, whenever, now or later, Lord, will you minister to their hearts, Lord, and help us to be feet washers. But at the same time, help us to be one that, like the woman who broke the alabaster box and poured it on your feet and washed it with her hair, Lord, help us to be those that take on your scent. And Lord, we ask for your wisdom and grace, Lord, for those that are putting on their uniform every day, and yet they're dealing with politicians that have a corrupt agenda, a corrupt plan. Lord, will you thwart that for righteousness' sake? And Lord, we ask you would just continue to bless the nine believers. Lord, continue to bless Adam, myself, Lord, Josiah, and Steve, who were unable to be with us. Lord, will you give us wisdom? And Lord, we ask you would just continue to do a work in our lives, Lord, right where we're at. For Lord, tomorrow's not guaranteed. So Lord, help us to live for today. So just ask for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit, God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, folks. Till the next one. God bless.
Peace out.